women of color, the intersectionality between race and gender are sometimes so inherently tied together that it is hard to separate the two. We shoulder the responsibilities of our race and our gender. The superhero, the martyr, the chosen one, the one who can come and fix it. How do we walk through our lives considering both of those identities? I am Blanca.
And I am Ray. In our podcast, we will lift the power of story and hear from women of color who have navigated workspaces as women of color. We will give rise to our unique challenges and lessons learned, while also showing the power and strength that we hold. This is a place for our stories to connect us and let us know that we are not alone. Listen in as we seek to heal, transform, and shine light on our stories.
This is Woke at Work.
Welcome to Woke at Work. If you are already familiar with the North Star and Sean King, then you might already be familiar with my voice as well. He and I host a podcast together called Married to the Movement, and he has the pleasure of being my husband. Mm-hmm. He is the CEO of the North Star and has his own pretty well-known podcast called The Breakdown. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you never heard of any of these people or these podcasts, then I will give you a brief introduction of myself. I am Ray King, the wife of Sean King. I am also a mom to five amazing children.
Five whole children.
Right.
Yes, in this world.
Mm-hmm. And every day I'm like, really, Ray? Okay. But they range in age all the way from 20 down to 7. Okay. And they are the loves of my life. I am also a lifelong educator. I taught elementary school for about 16 years. Right now serving as a diversity director at a national nonprofit. And I also help Sean with the North Star as their COO. Now I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Dr. Blanca Ruiz. Tell them about yourself, girl.
Well, what Ray didn't say is that apparently she can turn 24 hours into 48 hours and that these roles are way more, like, these are only a snippet of the things she does. Follow her on Instagram and you will know, like, where the hell does she get all this time? Anyway, I am Blanca Ruiz. Well, that's what my legal name is. I grew up in Brooklyn.
You have another name?
I do.
What?
Y'all learned about that in the other episode.
Okay.
Not today. It's too much too soon.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if the people who know me by the other name are going to be listening to this, though. What do I need y'all to know about me? I am from Brooklyn, born and raised before, in Fort Greene before it became like the cool spot where everybody want to live.
Yeah.
And I am a mom as well of two little ones who teach me all about being unapologetic in myself. Mm. And I, too, have been in education for over 20 years as a teacher, as a principal. I often say that if my old students saw my kids or me with my kids, they'd be like, dang, you letting them run you.
And that's always the way.
I'm like, y'all can't embarrass me in front of them. I have come to this. So the other thing is that doctor title came at the beginning of maternity leave. I was delirious and just decided to pursue this this doctorate program.
Girl, you say that like you just took a walk to the park or something.
When you on maternity leave, nothing seems real. So you're like, it was a walk, right? So I decided to do that. At the time, I identify as a New Yorican, Puerto Rican from New York, Latina. At that time, it was 2.5% of Latinas who had doctorate degrees. So I was like, well, might as well change that number just a little bit.
Right.
And I was delirious. And so I had started that doctorate program. And then 3.5 years later, 2 kids later, both under 3.
Oh, my gosh,
I know,
girl.
I know,
that is wild. Listen, let me tell you something. If I were you, I would have doctor, like, tattooed on my forehead. Like, everybody would have to be calling me doctor after that.
I don't even accept it.
I know, you
I know,
don't.
I
know. That
I know.
Is wild to me. Oh, after everything you had to go through.
Tat it up on my back. Y'all find out how many tattoos I have later on in the episode, maybe. But doctor's not on there. But yeah, so I've lived in all those spaces, and currently I am doing some independent work, doing equity work, racial equity training, but also some leadership coaching, and work a lot with women of color in educational spaces, but also nonprofit spaces. And like, this podcast just speaks to my experience, to experiences you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
But the experience of many women of color who feel like, damn, is this me? Is this about, like, I thought it was just me. I thought it was just, I was doing this alone.
What Blanca isn't saying is that she's a total badass.
Can you curse? I can curse now.
Yes, oh, yes, yes.
She said, she gave me permission. So.
Yes, I mean, you know, a little bit, right?
Badassery.
This is New York, after all, where I learned all my cussing skills, actually.
Yeah, right. You know you was cussing. You had five kids. You know you were cussing.
No, girl, I was just speaking. I was speaking scriptures over there before I moved to New York.
Let your mama tell it, yes.
That was a whole other thing. But no, I kept hearing Blanca's name over and over again in all these different spaces that I was in. People would say, oh, do you know Blanca Ruiz? Or have you met Blanca Ruiz? And I'd be like, no. And when in my role as diversity director at this nonprofit, we were looking to bring someone in to host some time with our women of color on staff. And someone said, oh, you really need to reach out to Blanca. And so I did. And she came and she spoke about the challenges of being a woman of color in work, and really less than the challenges, but really, I would say a lot about how to walk in your power, right? And how to own that space, but to the degree to which you were comfortable. And I, one of the things that you said during that time that I really love, one, I felt like you kept it so real, but also super realistic. Like, on the days when you feel like being a badass and you feel like standing up on the table, you gave the example of when you were a principal and be like, excuse me, am I having trouble getting your attention? Is it because I'm a woman? You know, like, what's going on here? Like, on the days when you feel like being that badass, be that. But on the days when you don't feel like, step back and be like, you know what? Not today. Y'all can have it. Not today. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like, that was such an important message for the young women in that space to hear, to fit, to know that they didn't always have to be superwoman and, you know, the standard bearer, the flag bearer for the race or for their gender or whatever it was. Like, if there were days where you just weren't up for it, be like, whatever, you know what? Not today. Y'all not paying me enough to fight that fight. And I was like, okay, I like this girl.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this all this. I mean, we will continue to talk about this. But like, how do we stand in our own space? Right. Like, as someone, as both of us have daughters. Right. How do we model it? How do we, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk of like authenticity and being who you are? And at the same time, it's like, I can't shoulder the burden and the weight. Right.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's a choice.
It is. Oh, my gosh. That's exactly what I would call it. Like, I felt like in that moment when you were talking to those young women, it was like, you have a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can choose who to be, how to be, what battles to fight, when to fight them, and when to be like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. And so I just felt like that was really empowering. And I feel like that brings us into, like, the why of this podcast and why we wanted to start it and why we thought it was important. In so many of our conversations, you know, I will share with you some of my challenges that I face as a diversity director. And then you will share with me some of the challenges that you face, but also other stories that you've heard out in the field. And I was like, you know what? Like, this is a whole thing. You know what I'm saying? First of all, this idea of women of color in nonprofits, in for-profit companies. I feel like there is this just kind of unseen industry almost of women of color being brought into these spaces to fix them, either officially as diversity directors or diversity and equity or DEI, different places call them different things. And I don't think before I was in this space, I didn't know that there were so many women of color on the front lines of this work. Mm-hmm. And so in learning that and hearing so many stories, I thought, wow, it would be really great to have a space where we could hear these stories and where people could know that they're not alone. When we think of activists, you know, we think of big voices, you know, people like my husband or people like Tamika Mowry who are on the front lines demanding justice, picketing, getting arrested. And that's great. And those things need to happen because it puts it in the front of our consciousness. But then there are also, what about the woman who is working at the bank and knows that she needs to be promoted, mm-hmm. knows that she's put in the time, knows that she has mm-hmm. the expertise and is having to advocate for herself in ways that are going to open doors for those coming behind her. Like, she is also an activist right. in a way, you know?
And opening that door for, you know, for the people behind, right?
Yeah.
And so oftentimes I was in a workshop I was facilitating an affinity space for a white dominant organization. And I remember someone who achieved such a high position in the organization, and he said that his silence has allowed for that room to manifest. Mm. But, like, he couldn't fight every fight, so he had to pick and choose certain fights. And it's just another way. It was like, for me, I was like, oh, you got to be loud about everything. And it's like, there are a lot of us who aren't so loud about it.
Yeah.
And inch our way to the top, right?
Absolutely.
Or whatever the top is, into the spaces, right?
Into the spaces. At the tables where we know we belong, but where space isn't always created for us. And it's like day after day after day, waking up, making the decision to go in, making the decision to say, I need a raise. I deserve a raise. I'm throwing my name in the hat for that position. Like, all of those things day in and day out that, you know, I feel like women of color in particular, people of color, honestly, but women of color in particular are just shouldering the burden of this work in ways that I don't think that most people understand. Did you see my Instagram post a few weeks ago?
I was looking at it. I was like, oh, yeah, that path, that
right?
chart. Yeah,
like somebody posted that. I saw that on Facebook in a group that I'm a part of. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, like,
if y'all don't know what she's talking about, this it was something she posted called the problem of women of color in the workplace, problem in quotes. In color, I guess the British folks wrote it.
I know. I saw
that. B-O-L-O-U-R.
Right. And when I saw that, I was like, first of all, this must be British. But then, like, how wild is it that across the mm-hmm. pond, the experience is so similar that we here in America could read that and be like, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all, I mean, look it up. I mean, but it talks about just, like, getting hired, the tokenization and the reality of, like, man, what is the system I'm working at and within? And then how do you, as you speak up, sometimes feeling targeted and attacked and, like, alienated? And so
what really stood out to me from that graphic was when they talked about how the woman of color enters the workspace and the white people there are, like, so excited, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's like, yay, you know, we made this awesome hire and I'm going to take you to meet this person. I want you to meet this person and I want you to be a part of this group. And, like, the energy is like, great, awesome. I feel so welcome. And then as that woman of color starts to notice things and point out things, like you said, now all of a sudden it starts to feel like a target on my back. And then I think that graphic even said something. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking right at it.
Does it say something?
Although, I'm not on script, y'all. Go
ahead. Does it say something about the relationships between that woman of color and other people of color in the workplace there? I thought it says something like, as
people of color are pitted against one another.
Yes.
So this denial of, it says there's this, like, one part that says it's denial of racism. And so the response is that the organization denies and ignores and blames, right? And so, and then people of color start to basically, girl, that's a whole, that's actually, I believe we're going to talk about that in another podcast episode.
Right, because that is a whole conversation in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. But when I posted that to Instagram, I was really surprised at the number of women who commented and were like, oh my gosh, like, that is my life, mm-hmm. or that was my experience. And I thought it was just me, and I can't believe this is, like, a shared experience. And for me, that really, like, cemented the need for this kind of podcast, because we're all out here sometimes struggling, facing these challenges, and we don't even understand that this is a part of a system, mm-hmm. right? And these are patterns that are being played out everywhere, all across the country, all across the world even. And so the problem probably is not us. The problem is this system that has been created that we're constantly having to fight against. And to see that so many women didn't know that and didn't understand that, I was like, let's have a space where we can talk about it and where they can hear other people's stories and feel supported. At a time when so many important conversations are being had, your voice is more essential than ever. That's why I love Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning tool that can help you find your voice and learn how to use it in creative ways.
And what's cool is that with thousands of inspiring classes taught by a diverse group of innovators, you can explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity, especially during a time when we are trying to tap into creative outlets.
I just took a class taught by Nikayla Matthews-Okome called Podcasting Secrets. She has a segment about goal setting that was super insightful and that I will definitely be implementing as Blanca and I continue to record.
Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at Skillshare.com/woke, W-O-K-E. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
Get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/WOKE. That's 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes at Skillshare.com/WOKE.
Just this intersectionality, right, of race and gender. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, even when I became principal, I was like, how much of this is about me being a first female principal in this school that I was in? Mm-hmm. And how much of this is being the first Latina? And I just couldn't separate it, right? That's what Kimberly mm-hmm. Crenshaw was like. I don't know if you can separate this in her work and coining the term intersectionality, right? And so, I don't know that it's as easily as separated. And I oftentimes think about just the role that women of color continue to play, not just in organizations, but in homes, right? Like, what is the burden, and it's not a burden, right? Not necessarily, like, it's just the responsibility you carry.
Sometimes
responsibilities, just you live it, right? Like, right. You just walk through life. And so really thinking about, I've been talking to a lot of women about how the responsibility being placed on women of color in the organization to clean up a mess that they were not responsible for creating.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm supposed to clean this up. Sometimes it turns into this pitting folks of color against folks of color. Mm-hmm. But, like, that pattern and how do you disrupt that pattern, right? And then my dissertation work was actually on this intersectionality between race and gender, particularly within the Latina community, where there is this machismo culture, yet this heavy reliance on a matriarchy to, like, sustain and support.
Yeah.
And just, like, what that tension is. And then, the sexualization of women and all of these different ways in which how women show up. And then what do you do when you're trying to create this place, when you're trying to move up in this place with the place of, in the space of authenticity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well, can I really be me here? Like, what does it look like for me to be me?
Right. Like the my ways of being. One of the things that I learned in the organization that I'm in now is, first of all, you're walking into a set culture, particularly mm-hmm. organizations that are long established and have been around for a long time. And then you walk in there, there is already a culture that more than likely does not ascribe to your ways of being. So, like, case in point, one of the things that we realized is that the culture of the organization where I was working was to be more passive in the way that it gave feedback, or really not to give the feedback at all. Right. And a lot of the people of color, particularly the Black people, that just didn't work for them. It was like, why are you going to my manager and telling them about an issue that you have with me or my work, when you could have just as easily, like, just talk to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, come, be direct about it. And we got to the point where we realized, like, oh, this is a cultural, what we kind of call, like, a cultural bump, a cultural difference that we're up against. Like, oh, you're doing it this way, and you probably don't mean any malicious intent or whatever. This is just your idea of what mm-hmm. it means to be professional. And my idea of what it means to be professional is just, like, actually come talk to me. Let's meet it head on, you know, and we're going to be fine. Like, it's not going to be a problem.
And except that you're going to be labeled aggressive.
You do.
The problem.
Exactly. 100%.
You're the problem at work, right? Yeah. And then you end up having, you either leave or all of a sudden you're not a culture fit, right?
Right, right. Because you're not trying to be aggressive. It's just in my culture, we speak directly, right? And so that's where, and I saw that so much on my Instagram post where women were saying, I was labeled as this. Mm-hmm. I was called aggressive. I was told that I wasn't a team player, that I needed to smile more and
fix my tone.
Oh,
yeah. You need to adjust your tone. Maybe if you soften it, maybe if you start with asking questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All these cold words.
So this is what y'all gonna get on this podcast, y'all. This is like we didn't even get into the nitty gritty. We just scratching the surface.
Right, right. But this is why we say it's our space, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're here to keep it real. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to be politically correct about it or ascribe to anyone's idea of what is professional or appropriate. Right. Like this is where we come to share our stories in the way that is authentic for us. And so that is the point of this podcast. We're going to be doing some really great interviews with some super dope women who are in several different sectors and just hear about their experiences and the ways in which race and gender have showed up in the work that they do and how they have mitigated those challenges or how they're learning or trying to mitigate those challenges because none of us, I don't think, has the full answer.
Right, yeah. And then, like, I mean, you know, is hearing their stories, is laughing at the stories, it's like co-signing and be like, yes, you know, and it's also like empowering to hear how folks transcend and how folks like heal and how folks try to take care of themselves in it all, you know, beyond the like self-care of mani pedis and massage, which for some people, like, I don't even know what that is. but, you know, like our hope is that we're creating a space where you feel like you're stepping into a conversation and you're like echoing in and wanting to chime in.
Yeah.
And also for allies in the work, really, to be like, not just like to eavesdrop and be like, oh, my goodness, this is what the hell they've been saying behind our back. But more so to gain a greater understanding of what within your power can you do differently to create spaces where women of color feel like they are part of something. They are an equal part. They can, mm-hmm. you know, or like empower folks to make changes, right? And so... So, yeah, so that's our hope, right, with Woke at Work. Now, I'm going to be honest, like, the concept of wokeness is a whole other...
Okay, yeah, so let's dig into that. Like,
oh, y'all going to see our first fight, y'all. It's the first fight.
Well, because we went back and forth about what to name this podcast. And at first, we were thinking of calling it something like Our Space. And one, like, I put on my... First of all, I listen to podcasts like most people watch TV. Like
me. Meanwhile, I'm listening to all the wrong music. I'm like, let me turn down my Acanelli at 8:30 in the morning.
But yeah, I mean, I don't like TV. I listen to music when I'm working out. And I listen to the explicit music when I'm working out. Okay, so I'm not a total prude.
Get your half marathon ready, so get it.
Yes. But when we were, I listened to a bunch of podcasts and we were trying to come up with a name. I pulled up the list of podcasts and I noticed, like, okay, they all have two words, maybe one word, three at the most. And so we knew that was our challenge, like get it down to about three words. And so I started to think, like, Our Space, while I loved it and it made sense and it captured, like, yes, this is our space, women of color, that we are creating for ourselves. I was just like, if somebody's like scrolling through like new and noteworthy or, you know, top podcasts, you see how I'm speaking all that mm-hmm. into existence.
Let's
like that's where mm-hmm. we'll be. They might not know what Our Space is. So then we're like, okay, fine, let's just call it Woke at Work. And Blanca is not a fan, but tell us what your issue is with Woke.
It's just, so I do a lot of equity work, right? So I just think of buzzwords, right? And buzzwords, just like this is the like season of buzzwords. And so I feel like that's one of the buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
That's out there. So, you know, we'll embrace it. But I just like being woke, I feel like it's a state that people try to aspire to be at, right? And it's just like this ain't, as someone who engages in it daily, I went away. So, I'll finish this part. Well, as someone who engages in this daily, anyone who knows me knows that I start, stop, start, stop. So I'm going to try to figure out how to not do that here. My husband be like, this is how she talks at home. I can't get her to finish the damn story. But, people go, I'm in educational spaces where restorative justice is the thing. And I'm like, then I ask you to define restorative justice. Right. And it's just like, what does that really mean to you?
We're not going to suspend kids and instead offer yoga.
Right.
That's most educational spaces interpretation.
And I'm like, that's not it. Yeah. Right. Not it. Culturally responsive pedagogy. And then ethnic studies is going to be the next buzz. And like all of these things become buzz. And so it was like this, let me achieve a state of wokeness. And it's just like, we're not getting to a state of wokeness, right? Like, we're always doing work, right? And as someone who has lived in the skin that I've lived in, has walked around in this world, as I am, I just am like, I'm still figuring out how to engage in work. I'm still trying to,
What if it's kind of like equity, right? So, like, we'll never actually achieve equity. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what some people say. Like, it is a goal. It is something that we're always working towards. And so does that mean like an organization could never call itself equitable? Maybe not.
I don't know if they'll ever be liberated. I don't know about equitable. I mean, you can do maybe. I mean, depends. We were talking about interviewing some people who are trying to create an equitable organization void of like white dominant ways of working. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's possible. But my thing with like woke is just, I would hope that I am, even as someone who has this like doctorate behind it, whatever, I am not ever at that level of constantly being woke, right? And so mine is like, I'm always being conscious. So the place that I was going before when I was about to digress was that we went on vacation. We try to do like family vacations as a form of, I call it as a form of resistance. I also call it as a form of like getting drunk and having my kids like go
play in
the pool.
What's the resistance?
Like, I need to refuel to be able to fight, right? I need to just lay back. So when we went away, I was like, listen, the most racist shit could happen, and I'm not saying nothing because I'm on a break, right? And I was like, I might even say something that's wrong. And I'm not actively doing that, right? But it's just that.
That's crazy. Like, I'm going to go around and be racist.
I'm not saying I'm going out and be a racist because, first of all, I can't be racist as a woman of color. So. I can be prejudiced.
That's a whole other conversation.
I can be prejudiced. Listen, go to my sessions, my first sessions. We talk about it. So it's just, I just think that we're kind as people, like there's this constant aspirate, and mainly people in educational spaces, we're trying to get to this goal. There's never, ever this place of like my level of consciousness is constantly there because I'm constantly being inundated with messages, right?
But what if woke is just like, there were some things, this is how I tend to think of it. Like, there are some things that
listen,
I was
you ain't
gotta
convince
to.
Me, girl. This is already the title.
Okay, this is for the listeners. This is why I'm okay with the word woke. Because to me, it's not necessarily that you've achieved a certain state, but that your eyes are now open to some things that they might not have been open to before. And so, like, the literal, like, I was asleep and now I am awake. Like, now I'm woke. And so I get what you're saying because I do think a lot of people use it like, oh, you're not down, you're not woke enough, or I'm woke, so I ain't no way I could be, out here, creating microaggressions and all that kind of stuff because I'm woke. And so, like, no, if you literally think that it is a state that you can achieve and it is static and you will be there forever, then yeah, it's a problem. But I tend to think of it like, oh, wow, there's a state of consciousness. There's some things that I am now, woke to. That I wasn't before. And I feel like, and this is a conversation that you and I had before when we talked about this podcast, like, I feel like there are so many like social media warriors who, they have the language and they can fire off a tweet and they follow all the influencers and they retweet like crazy and they get into arguments with people in the comment section. And then when they show up to work, you don't see any of that, right? Yeah. Any of that advocacy. And mainly, I'm probably talking mostly about allies right here, right? Yeah. Like, where online, it's so much easier to put things out there and call people this and say that. But then when you show up to your place of work, those people of color who could actually use you using your privilege in a way that would benefit the workplace, they don't see you doing that,
right?
And so part of the reason that I liked the Woke at Work title is because so many people are, quote unquote, woke online, but not woke at work. Mm-hmm. And either because they don't feel like they have the agency to do that, or it's probably more because it's a lot harder to actually say stuff to people in person than it is to fire off a tweet.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I don't, you know, like, I think there's a space for it. There's a level of consciousness. There's a level of, like, I had no idea, right? Like, our hope is that, like, you're listening to this and you're like, I thought it was just me. I thought it was just because I was in this part of the country or, like, this community. But, like, I realize this is beyond me, and that gives me a level of wokeness, right, or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah. Maybe it's more like, I think of woke as awareness. So maybe we should call it like awareness at work.
It doesn't ring. Well, listen, y'all listening to WOW. y'all at WOW. Right. That'll avoid me saying it. I'm kidding. No.
Okay.
But listen, the reality is that, you know, our hope, we keep going back to this. Whatever this is for you, it is a space for us to really share stories. And something I will say, I was, you know, beyond the, like, title, something I've been thinking about and I thought about today, this is like TMI. I showered today and I was thinking in the shower. So, like, that's a lot of information. Wow.
That's good news.
That's good. And listen,
if you're going to be around people, you should shower.
Well, that's why I was like, I'm not just behind a mic. I got to be in a space with you. Like, if we were just doing this over the phone, this would be a whole different, right, you know, lineup today. While I was just thinking about a lot about voices, which is, I think, when we started talking about, like, this concept of voice, I hope, you know, our people come from a people who spoke, you know, who, like, oral tradition was real. Like, that's where, you know, that's where it was. Like, things were passed down. And as a child of an illiterate mom and parents, who both were illiterate, did not know how to read or write growing up, that came, my mom and dad came from Puerto Rico to New York and were failed by the educational system back in the 40s. Mm. And my mom had a speech impediment. Like, she just didn't, she had a speech impediment, so she didn't like to actually use her voice. Mm. So I found myself being the youngest of five, the only girl constantly speaking up, you know, for her, like, speaking for her, translating documents for her, like, all those little things. And I just thought about, like, the power of voice. And so that this, you know, doing this and doing this with you and bringing all these powerful people into the space to have conversations is really about giving our people a voice and, like, honoring all different experiences, all different ways in which this is manifested. And, like, there's going to be some commonality and there might be some differences. And the hope is that we're all learning something about it, but that we're also paying, you know, We're also respecting our ancestry and, like, you know, going and back to, like,
oral
that oral tradition. Yeah. And so I think about, like, I'm new to this podcast. Rave's talking about her, like, seven podcasts is she out there doing.
Oh, girl.
I'm sitting here. I be podcasting in my shower, y'all. all my lectures back
but
to my
look,
students
girl,
are podcasts.
Now,
why not grab?
You're going to have the bug for it. You're going to be like, what about a podcast? That's what happens, girl. If people get on the mic for the first time, like, oh, my gosh, I like that.
I'm gonna walk around with a mic when I'm with my kids, be like, this podcast gonna be cool.
Right.
Straight to the heart. And I'm be like, getting them, right? Listen.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Like, girl, hold on. I'm recording this for the podcast, y'all. When I said clean up your room, okay, I meant clean up. No.
Girl, I could not. There could not be a microphone in my car, at my house. Y'all would not respect me anymore.
No.
But, like, I love that idea of the oral tradition. As a matter of fact, my 10-year-old came home from school and they had a guest speaker come in and he was telling his story and he was, like, using drums and he would, like, pause and, like, beat on the drum and then continue the story. And she was so fascinated by it. And so then she started asking me questions, like, about our family history. And she was just like, Mom, I have to be a griot. And I was like, okay.
Oh, you like fancy words,
right?
Up in here.
I was like, yes, but that she really took to it. I believe it spoke to her, right? And just, like, from an ancestral perspective, like, that is what we do. We major in telling these stories. Yeah. You know, you can be around any family, people of color, and it's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, thinking of this podcast in that way, I think is really special.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
My name is Amel, and I'm the North Star's operations assistant, as well as the fulfillment and customer service coordinator. The North Star receives hundreds of emails a day, whether it be story pitches, checking the status of a membership, updating account information, the list goes on. My job is to respond to each message sent by one of our members and cater to their needs based on the request. I also have the honor of curating monthly boxes for our premium members who contribute $250 and above each month. Be it that the global pandemic has affected all of us, we want to make sure that our members receive items that may be used as sources of support and relaxation. I want to give a shout out to each and every one of our members that are continuing to support us through these unprecedented times. Whether it be updating billing information or deciding to rejoin us, your contributions make a huge difference. We are still standing because you believe in us and what we do. If you're listening and wish to become a member, please go to thenorthstar.com/join-now/ and select a membership tier that works best for you. We offer basic memberships that give you access to our site, but if you wish to contribute more, you'll receive goodies such as a hoodie, t-shirt, or a monthly box curated by yours truly.
So, speaking of stories, one element that we want to have as a part of this podcast is something that we are calling WOW, to go back to Blanca's phrasing, WOW war stories, where when we do interview guests, and every episode won't have a guest, but we will do that really often so that you can hear other stories. But one element will be called WOW war stories, and that is where we will ask our guests to tell us a story, a moment in their work where they were just like, wow, basically. And
like, what's the craziest that you ever heard?
Right? That somebody like
process.
They were really trying you. And so for this first episode, our inaugural episode, Block and I, we will share our wow stories.
Wow. I'ma let you go first.
Okay. I can go first. Girl, listen, I have plenty. The problem was narrowing it down. I was like, which story will I tell? But I think the one that I'm going to go with is myself and the director of the nonprofit where I served as diversity director. We were meeting with one of our sponsors, and we were meeting with their diversity director. And so we go to Manhattan, and I'm excited because it's an enormous organization, okay? Like, international organization with, you know, thousands of employees, and I'm about to meet their director of diversity. And so she was a white woman, which isn't uncommon at all in these spaces. And we were not very far into the conversation at all before I realized that her idea of diversity was advocating for LGBTQ folks, which is completely valid, and women. Mm-hmm. And that it pretty much stopped there for her. Mm-hmm. And what I would come to understand over the next year or so is that that is actually the case for a lot of organizations. They're super comfortable in their DEI work, you know, advocating for LGBTQ folks. That's why you'll see during the Pride Parade. And there was actually a lot of discussion about this last year as we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. People were saying, taking a step back, because, you know, there were like flags in every store, retail space. And they're like, what is this commercialization of this time? And, you know, are these companies really for us, or are they just trying to sell us, you know, their rainbow colored hats and socks, you know? And so it is that way with a lot of organizations. They will advocate for LGBTQ. They will have their floats in the Pride Parade, but you would never see such a float or any kind of acknowledgement of Black Lives Matter or, you know, advocating against police brutality. It's still very much treated like the third rail in DEI work. And Black people notice. And so she told me that the Black people in this organization, this is the diversity director talking, and she told me that the Black people in the organization had kind of called her out for what they saw as this glaring omission of issues related to Black people in their DEI work. And girl, this is what she literally said to me. She said, and I told them, you know, all lives matter.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah,
ding, 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 ding.
I was like, I was so stunned. I was like, wow. Did she just all lives
see,
matter?
I just
me?
Said it. I said, wow.
Right.
See, wow. It's,
right? Because that's what I was saying. I was like, wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I cannot believe. And this is their director of diversity for an international organization. And I'm like, if she doesn't get it,
right.
I was like, we don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
That this woman could just literally sit here and all lives matter me? Like, where right. have you been? What are you reading? Who are you talking to? Who is in your circle, in your ear?
How'd you get that job?
How'd you get this job? But I know how she got the job because she is a white woman, which is a marginalized group. And so these organizations oftentimes, no different really than how they treat women of color that they put in these positions. They're like, we've got our person, we've got our token person, and so go do the thing. And so what she knows is, you know, issues that are important to women, mostly white women, and LGBTQ. And she really reviewed her ignorance around issues of racial justice when she said, well, I told them all lives matter. And it's just like, okay, sis, like, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And we walked away and from the meeting when we were finished, and my director, she was mortified. She's a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe she said that. And then we had to have a conversation afterwards, like, okay, well, what's the follow-up going to be?
Right, and what are you going to do as a white
Listen,
woman?
Listen, absolutely.
Like, I'm not shouldering that responsibility, right?
And she actually wasn't really feeling it. Like, she was a little sheepish about, first of all, money's tied up in it, okay?
Right,
when they give to your organization.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, oh, see, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? So, like, if you're going to be woke at work, sis, here is your opportunity to tell that white woman, your sister, that she cannot be all lives mattering people, and here's why. And if you won't step up to the plate and have that conversation, then I'm starting to wonder just how committed you are to this idea of racial equity. So that's my wow story.
No, and I think mine is really, so that was the one that I was pulling, and I was like, is it that basic, right? So I work a lot in the educational spaces, did a lot of coaching, like did a lot of leadership coaching with people who were like your leaders in schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a charter management organization for 15 years. And so walking, you know, travel from school to school, and I'm coaching this one woman, white woman, she's not from the U.S. She's outside of the U.S. trying to practice anonymity because everybody's going to be like, oh my gosh, she's talking about me.
I know.
I'm like, yes, you.
I know.
I'm talking
it's
about
so
you,
hard.
You, and you. And also, but I mean, the other thing is like, I do just in one side of me, I separate that people are on their own journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
My role, I have to think about where I show up in those spaces at disrupting and where I show up as a protection of me. And that's like a conversation we'll have later on, right? But anyway, so we're having a conversation and we're like, I'm coaching and asking her all these important questions.
Were you having a conversation? Like, was it a DEI conversation?
No, we're talking about like management. Like, how do you go in, give feedback to like kids, to the teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, like, how do you do that? But in this conversation, she had this block. And, like, I do a lot of, like, I can get to tactical, but if there's this mindset block, then we're going to talk about this mindset block.
Mm.
So, you know, organizations tend to be like, well, give me some results. What are the results? I'm like, cool, we're going to talk about results. But, like, what is there's a relationship block between you and this teacher. What could that be about?
Yeah.
And so then she was like, I don't know, but she had the nerve to say that I am racist. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, where did that come from? She was like, she just said that, you know, like the way I treat the black teachers is different than I treat white teachers. And I was like, well, could that perception be a reality?
Mm.
And she's like, are you calling me racist? And I was like, I'm asking you questions, girl.
Right.
Like, I'm cool with her. Like, we were really cool. And she was like, listen, I don't see color.
Oh.
And I was like, there was a moment of like,
oh my gosh.
You said, so then I had to like, I had a moment of like checking.
Girl, were you like, are you blind?
So I said to her, I said, you know, because I like, I'm also famous for like coaching and people be like, well, you told me to take a day off, but here you are with one leg in a cast showing up to work with, you know, like, all that. So I'm famous for like saying, you know, disrupt conversation. So I was like, am I going to have to disrupt this conversation? And then I like, how am I going to check? So first of all, you telling me you don't see me, right? And you don't see the beauty that is me, right?
100%.
Like, I'm not talking about, like, the negative stuff. I'm talking about the beauty that is me.
Like, you have to pretend like I don't exist in order to be okay with me, basically.
And so, and this is, like, someone who I'm really cool with, right? Mm. Like, I'm still cool. We can have these powwows and these conversations. And I'm like, what I'm not going to do is I'm not educating you, but here's a book that, go be Robin. She's talking to you. I'm not.
Right. And for those who don't know, that's Robin DeAngelo.
Yeah. I'm like, go let her. She's going to talk to you about your whiteness right now. But anyway, so in this conversation, it wasn't like, I'm not surprised, right? I'm not surprised at that. But for me, it was, wow.
Yeah.
You sitting up in this school with a leadership title and you don't even, like, this is not anywhere. The idea that a race of black, mostly black children, right?
Yeah.
Like, mostly black children in this community that you are working with, that there's an erasure.
Yeah.
Of the beauty. Like, their families are gifting you their culture
100%.
Every day, right? These kids are gifting you their presence, and you don't even see that. And like, for you to say that, and she was like, oh, my God, you think I'm a racist? I said, I'm not going to sit here and get caught up on who's a racist and who's not a racist.
Right.
And this is like, I'm not taking you through a 101 of my workshops. I'm not doing any of that stuff. What I am telling you on a more basic level is if somebody looked at you in the face as a white woman and said, I don't see you as a woman, you would be livid.
Absolutely. I don't see gender. You don't see all the decades of fight and advocacy and everything that is behind me when I sit in this position as a woman. That's a problem.
Absolutely. And so, for me, it wasn't it's not anything. Like, this is not, it's not crazy in that, like, first of all, people think twice about saying some crazy stuff in front of me, right?
I think that is crazy, Blanca.
I mean,
a white woman in a leadership position in a school of 100% black and brown children in this day and age when there's so much information available. That's the thing about the internet. Like, I didn't know, that's getting less and less of an acceptable response.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for me, it was a moment of like, why did you come to this? That's the question I asked. Why did you come to this community? Why you came here for something.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't go to Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
You didn't go to to Bensonhurst, right? You came here, and it was at that point, school could be Crown Heights, could be Bed-Stuy, could be Brownsville. I will keep you anonymous, homegirl.
Right.
But, like, it was definitely a black community. And so you came here, you saw color, yet you want to erase color. And you want to erase because you don't want to own up to the fact that maybe you have some blind spots.
Yeah.
That maybe your race, not the gender piece that you've been leaning on your whole life, but that your race has something to do with this dynamic you have created with your teachers.
Yeah, and they see it. And this is what I would have to tell the young people that I work with, is that when kids say to you, you're racist, because kids say that to these young people all the time, and it may not be, and you're like, what? I'm not racist. There is some message that has likely, not always, but likely been communicated to them through your actions.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that you perceive them in a particular way. And it could be something you said.
Absolutely.
It could be something about the way you're showing up has communicated to them that they are less than. And what they know, the thing that they go to is that you think they're less than because your race is different. And so when kids communicate that, when teachers communicate that, there is likely something going on there. That is communicating a message that, one, maybe you didn't intend, but two, that reveals that a belief that you have that you might not know that you have, but is there.
Yeah, I mean, and the way I ended it, at that point I had my kids, and I said, I'm not going to do is go back and forth with you on you seeing race. I'm not going to force you. just know that race exists. Mm-hmm. This is what race is. This is what racism is. Mm-hmm. That's your work to do.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is that it does impact your relationship.
100%.
And I said, and I have to say that on a personal level, because I had to do a professional hat, because that shit we got to do too, right? As women of color in professional spaces, I'm like, which hat am I wearing? At this point, I mean, I had power, so like I could have exercised any power to be like, listen, you know, all of that stuff. But I was like, on a personal level, because I knew her personally, I was like, what you just said is you don't see me and you don't see my children. Mm. And I want you to sit with that. Mm. And I'm in this conversation now. She's like, no. But I was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't get to sit here and listen and endure the rest of this. Right? Like, I'm walking away from
that. Self-care.
That's right self-care. There. I'm like, I'm walking away. We have our check-in next week. I hope you've reflected on it in the next week. And that's your work to do. Yeah. Like, that's your work, right?
You left it with her. I love that. Like, yeah. Because so often we're put in a position where we are expected to be saviors of people, and we're expected to make it plain, and we're expected to make it stick, and I don't get it, or I don't understand. Okay, I like that idea. That's your work then. I've given you the resource. I've clued you in to what could be the issue here. Now you go sit with that, and you go do your work.
And that's what when I talk about in workshop, experiencing discomfort is like you sitting in that. You ain't got the, I'm not going to be on your journey. Like some days I might, right? But that day I was like, I'm good. The harm has been done to me.
Yeah.
I'm good, right? Yeah. Like, I have expressed my peace. I've done my disruption in that form. And right now, you got to go do your learning, right? Yeah. And so I would hope that, like, if those of you who are allies who are listening to this is, like, you know, if somebody tells you, go do your work, right? Like, not like, oh, my God, I'm never going to say all lives matter. And, like, I don't see color. Well, you shouldn't. But, right, like, understand. Right, that's a start. But also understand why, right? Like, understand why. And that, it, you know, like
start Googling, look and pull up Amazon and start, you know, typing in some subjects, you know, race and white women at work, whatever, whatever you need to put there. All kinds of resources out there. There's no excuse not to know. I mean, I'm not trying to say everybody should know all the things at this point, but the resources are out there. And so if somebody tells you to do your work, go do your work.
Do the work. Okay. So wait, are we at the are we about to
what, the affirmations or the
affirmations?
Okay. Before we go to the affirmations, yes, we do want to end every episode with an affirmation because, like we said, this is a space where we share our stories, but we also want it to be like a space of healing, right? And so you may walk away from some conversations like kind of riled up and being like, oh, wow, you know, I can't believe that. Or, oh, man, yeah, I'm angry about this. But really, we also want this to be a space where you feel affirmed, you feel heard, you feel valued, and that some part of that is healing for you. And so we thought, what better way than to end with an affirmation? But before we get to that, I do want to tell you that another thing that we hope to offer on here is maybe a little bit of advice for your particular situation, kind of like a Dear Abby column, a Dear Blanca column.
We couldn't come up with some jazzy. I know. Ray and Blanca.
Dear Ray and Blanca. Dear Woke at Work. I don't know.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey. Right? Yeah, you could do that, too, if you want to start
your M-I-J-A. Letter. That's how you spell it. M-I-J-A. The J, it sounds like an H in Espanol. So you could do mija,
yeah, what? Why don't we do that? Whatever feels comfortable to for you, however you want to open up your letter. But we're going to be looking for emails, and you can email wokeatwork@thenorthstar.com and ask us a particular question like, hey, this happened at work. I'm not sure how to respond. Or, hey, I'm thinking about going out for this position. Any tips? Or I'm looking for a new job, but I want to make sure that it's a responsive culture. What should I look for? Like, whatever.
Hey, I'm not trying to catch a case. How should I deal with this? Like, but if I do, does Sean have my back?
The answer is no. I mean, yes, we have your back, but we're not paying no legal fees. Don't be going back to work. Talk about Ray and Blanca told
they
me to
said
do
that, right?
No, take our advice at your own risk.
We will be sifting through these requests and these questions. Thank you very much. Yes, going jeopardy. Hold on, let me get my insurance to protect me first before I start giving advice.
Right, but no, email wokeatwork@thenorthstar.com. We'd love to hear your stories. We'd love to hear your questions and answer what we can. So please shoot those off, and we will be utilizing those in our episodes moving forward. So,
affirmations.
Affirmations. So wait, can we just, like, affirmations is, like, woke. I get it. Some people are like, oh, my gosh, affirmation. Let me take my lipstick and put it on my, like, mirror. So I should, like, girl, you are beautiful today and every day.
Right?
You are powerful. Like,
you
yes, is
smart.
That,
so, you are important.
You, all the good stuff. And I will say, like, there is, you know, I used to do, I will say in a hokey kind of way, whenever I do workshops, I talk about my kids. And I used to do affirmations at night before, like, they got vocal enough to tell me to stop. But part of it was to combat, like, the negative messages that, you know, that media, books, and all these things have sent our people, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did used to do affirmations, but, you know, and they were like, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm smart, all that good stuff that, you know, my brown skin is perfect and beautiful, my curly hair is perfect and beautiful, all that good stuff, mm-hmm. leave you feeling all right and tight. But our version of affirmations, really, like, what do we want y'all to, you know, you all take away from this, what you want to take away from it. But, you know, if we could leave you, if we could gift you, and our idea is that, like, that the voices themselves are gifts, but that the voices, that there might be a gift to pass on to you all as we bring people here. So what is the gift that we would like to leave you? Any words, any messages?
Mm-hmm.
And I jokingly talked about the Bodega Boys, if y'all, I don't know if y'all be listening to this, but hey.
Desus and Mero.
Yeah, I know. Desus, like, they have the, you know, the sign and, you know.
The rainbow.
The rainbow and all that stuff. And this is, like, just, I mean, you know, go the direction, but, like, but Ray, is there something that you want to leave listeners with after we recorded our first? Like...
Yes, I would love to leave you with this idea that you are not alone. Like, you are not alone.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I am here with you.
Exactly. Though we're far apart.
But is this bad with singing Michael Jackson?
Oh, damn it. Michael.
Stop, y'all. Okay.
Okay, fine. Just you are not alone. How
Period.
About that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe we could edit out the singing. there's a little. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay, Blanca, what about you? What's your affirmation?
Oh, you put me on a spot. I just put you on a spot. no, I mean, I think, you know, I said this before. It's just, I think it's along the lines of you are not alone, but mine is more of we have a voice and we have a story and like, this is a space for it, right? And so we are, and I oftentimes tell people this, we are the owners of our story, right?
Oh, I love that.
And so, I've lived in a world of data and numbers and, like, all of that stuff, and that narratives were not valued, and and my dissertation was completely reliant on narratives.
Mm.
I feel blessed, quite honestly, to be in a space in which we honor the narratives of our sisters.
Yeah.
of our women. Sorry, it was a joke we had about the word sister.
Right.
Feel really blessed to be able to listen to the voices of some powerful women and to have your voice here and us sharing a space where people feel like I have a space for my voice to not only be heard, but also to be valued.
That's right. That's right.
And so
awesome. So you are not alone, and we are the owners of our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we just did
we
our first
did
episode.
Yay!
And we'll be back again with some awesome women of color who are doing powerful work in this country in so many different spaces, and can't wait for you to hear their stories. Thank you so much for listening to Woke at Work.
Thanks, y'all.
We trying to stay woke at work. We trying to stay woke at work. How about you? You trying to stay woke at work? If you trying to stay woke at work, stay true, stay true. We trying to stay woke at work. We trying to stay woke at work. How about you? You trying to stay woke at work? Woke at work, woke at work. Stay true, stay true.
Shout out to the North Star for making Woke at Work possible. If you are not a member of the North Star, you can head over to thenorthstar.com, create an account and enjoy some of the paid content in addition to the free content that we offer. Thank you to the thousands of members who currently support this work that make this podcast, other podcasts, and all types of media that we offer, Speaking Truth to Power, possible. So again, that's thenorthstar.com. We really appreciate your support. I also want to thank Lysandra, our podcasting director, Willis, our producer, who is also responsible for this awesome music, as well as Tone and everyone else behind the scenes who make this podcast work.
Now, if you want to support us, please go to your favorite podcasting app and subscribe, and please leave a review. We'd appreciate it so much if you could leave your best review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. If any of your other podcasting apps accept reviews, by all means, leave one there too. So remember, whether you're listening on Instagram, the North Star website, or wherever you listen to this, we appreciate you showing us your love by going to a podcasting app, subscribing, and leaving a review. Thanks so much, y'all, for all the love and support. And don't forget to tell a friend. We appreciate you.